Isn't it great to be a Christian? Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And together we'll say, amen. We love the Lord Jesus Christ. Before I go off into my sermon, I was handed two other prayer requests, or just to make us aware of them or know about them. The first one is Steve Dyer. We want to keep him in our prayers. He's having some health issues, and he'll be having some tests on Tuesday. So add Steve to your prayer list as well. And then Larry Oderdong, who is the brother-in-law of Jim Smith, was taken to the emergency room this morning. I think he had a very low heart rate, and that's part of it. But we want you to add Larry, please, to your prayer list. And we have several others that we mentioned already. I'm going to ask that we bow just for a moment and have a prayer about these in particular. Our kind and loving Heavenly Father, we love you, and we love you because you have first loved us. Holy Father, you've heard the names of these that have been mentioned today, special needs, some in the emergency room, some have had heart attacks, some have health issues, and some have surgeries. We want you, Father, as we have lifted up their names today, to be especially with them and their families, in their own individual situations, and we know that you know what they need far better than we do. Again, Father, we do love you. We love you because of your great gift to us through Jesus Christ our Lord, and we offer our prayer in his name. Amen. Our lesson this morning is entitled, Remember When. That probably doesn't make much sense to anybody, but it does to me. And I hope that when I'm done, it will to you. Just last week, in fact, Bobby, you and Roger and Travis and Jerry, we were all sitting together, fellowshipping last week. Sunday evening together and had a meal together, and we often talk about all kinds of things from sports and things that are going on and all that kind of thing. But every once in a while we slip off into something that may be a little on the spiritual side, even though we were not really expecting it to. But we got to talking about, and I'm going to give you credit for it, Bobby. I think you brought it up first and then we all sort of joined in, but we began to talk about days gone by. And we were talking about how when we grew up, about all of the many different things that we counted on or that we learned and that we loved and that we have very fond memories of. And we just sort of visited about that kind of thing. You might imagine what that might be. And as I progress along in this, I hope that you'll probably do a little of that thinking for your own self. It was because of that conversation I was reminded. Then a little bit later, I just happened to hear this song, an old country song. You know, I'm a country fan, and Alan Jackson sings this song called Remember When. And he has some really great lines. I don't know if he has credit for having written it, but I don't know if he had help, but he says, remember when I was young and so were you. We kind of were talking about that when we were young, when we were all sort of young. Travis, you were in on that as well. He said, and time stood still and love was all we knew. He's talking about his wife and his loved one, of course. And then he says, remember when old ones died and new ones were born? Anybody in this crowd remember that phase of your life? when the new ones came along, when the old ones passed away. He says life was changed, disassembled, and rearranged. There's a great sentiment of that, I do believe, and that is that no matter what happens, God helps us through things to rearrange our lives. I really love this line. He says, remember when the sound of little feet was the music we danced to week to week. I don't know if you young parents that have those little feet at home, and we're speaking to everybody, of course, those of you live stream at home, if this might apply to you. I know that sometimes it gets, well, in my generation, we say it gets a little hairy. That sounds maybe strange from a bald-headed man, but nonetheless, that meant they kind of get, you know, wild and all of that when you got the kids and you're trying to take care of them. Y'all's day are fixing to come back there. You're going to start enjoying that. Yet he says, that was the music we danced to week. You'll find out about that. Remember when 30 seemed so old? Bob, you remember that? When 30 just seemed like it was old? Now looking back, he said, it was just a stepping stone. And then he says, remember when we said we turned gray, and when the children grow up and move away. Now some of you are still hoping for the move away thing, okay. He said, we won't be sad. We'll be glad for all the life we've had. Remember when? I think about my own personal life. I think about so many people who influenced me. And you can do the very same. I'm not going to take advantage of you and tell you about everybody that I might remember. But if it hadn't been for them, I don't know where I might have been. I'm talking about the kind of influence that grandparents are on grandkids. I'm talking about the kind of influence parents are on kids. I'm talking about the aunts or the uncles or maybe the friends at the congregation where you grew up, if that's where your experience, or other people that had great influence on you because they just encouraged you. It may have been a very simple kind of encouragement. And yet at the same time, it was very powerful. I was told all my life that we had Indian blood in us. I look Indian, don't I? I just never really bought into that, Jim. Now, you could see it in my grandmother. You could see it in my dad. Not in me. I look like my mom's side. But when I did my genealogy, I found out that I am directly related to the chief of the Cherokee, his name Motoy, of the Cherokee Teleco. He was born in 1687, died in 1741, and his own son killed him and took his power. And we could all talk about our ancestors, couldn't we? We're not going to do that today. But all of those people, and I believe David was trying to say to us as he was giving us the call to worship. I know I'm giving you a long introduction, but it's a shorter sermon, okay? That we just sometimes don't realize how formative and how important we are to each other. To have the kind of connection that we have today. To remember why we're together. There's a song that Tommy always leads. He always does it better, but I'm going to sort of stumble through one verse of it. You all help me. It's number 606. And it's called Remind Me, Dear Lord. Written by Dottie Rambo. The things that I love and hold dear to my heart are just borrowed. They're not mine at all. Jesus, only let me use them to brighten my life. So remind me, dear Lord. Roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, I'm human and you must forget. So remind me, dear Lord. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, we have these words in the New American Standard. Paul is writing to his young protege and he says, I thank Jesus Christ, our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me into service. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor, yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was more abundant when the faith and the love which are found in Jesus Christ. It is a trustworthy statement, deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. Yet for this reason, I found mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, that Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. Now, if there was ever a personal statement, of course, we all agree this is inspired by the Holy Spirit because it's the Scripture. But if ever there was a personal statement that should strike each and every one of us in our hearts, it's a statement like this. It's really looking at what we just sang in the song, Remind Me, O Lord. Remind me about where you brought me from and where I could have been if it were not for you. What a great statement. What a marvelous, marvelous passage. And I want to say to you this morning just a few short points. Not necessarily of all of them about Scripture, and Scripture is the most important thing to me. But this is scripturally based. But we very seldom remind ourselves of how important we are to each other in the family of God. And I want to say to you that the Christian faith is something that is a revealed faith. Now you want a passage to go with that? 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 16 and 17. You know this passage, that all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof and for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate and equipped for every good work. We all know that. But I wanted to call your attention to a minute about the concept of that faith being revealed. Don't confuse me. I mean, don't be confused by this, because I'm not saying that we're deviating from the Scripture, but I want you to know how important we are to each other when it comes to the revealed faith. Because I can't begin to tell you of the number of people who have shown me what real faith was about in their life that made me or helped me to continue to have faith in my own life. Can I get an amen here? I mean, this is good stuff, because it's the thing we need to be reminded about how important it is that we understand that. I know that the psalmist has written, and he tells us in Psalm 19, that the heavens declare the glory of God. And the heavens, of course, show the handiwork of God's hands, doesn't it? We know that. We can all accept that. We love that. But it's when I see faith being expressed and revealed in you that helps me through tough times. It helps me recognize that faith is not only revealed in the covers of the Holy Word of God, but I'm seeing faith being played out in the action of other people who are struggling in life to live a life that would be the kind of life that would help influence others. I know that faith is the substance of things hoped for, and evidence of what isn't seen, and that it's impossible to please God, you see, without faith. We must believe that He is, that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek us or seek Him. But I'm not putting you above God, but I'm saying you are so important to my faith because of my observance of you in your faith. You know the scripture that we read, the trustworthy statement that Jesus Christ came into this world to do what? Save sinners. You know, that is so easy for us to forget about. I don't know why that is. Well, I do know why. It's Satan helping us to doubt, wanting us to doubt the faithfulness of the one and the only true living God, a revealed faith that comes to us not only from the evidence of the Divine One in heaven, but it comes to us by those who are about us and our availability to be influenced by them for what they did. I love it when the Scripture backs those things up. John 1, verse 18. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God, who is the bosom of the Father, He hath explained Him. Some of the other versions might use some different words. One of those words is revealed Him. In other words, we learned about the Father, our God, by the Son who came and showed us the attributes of the Father, our God. Is that not true? I mean, I know that we weren't literally there to see Him like those that lived in that time, but we know about them because the Scripture has recorded it for us. And we saw how others responded. It's so important that we remember these kind of things. Now, some of you may not remember this actor. He's a real old actor. Chill Wills. If you like any westerns, especially old westerns, you'll run into Chill every now and then. One of his famous favorite sayings on the screen was, "People, people, people." I can't tell you the number of movies that's recorded in. And I'm taking it from him today and saying, "People, people, people, you are important. You're important to me. You're important to the people around you. Because you're living out your faith and revealing it to other people." The Christian faith is a universal faith. You know what the scripture says, Matthew 28:18-20. Jesus coming up and speaking to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." That's our God. That's our Savior. "Go therefore and make disciples of all of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." We're talking about a faith that is universal. Now, I'm going to just, this, you didn't ask for this, but I'm going to give you my take on where we are today. In the United States of America, we've always been the home of the brave, land of the free. You know what we're talking about when we say that. And we've always welcomed the nations from all around the world here. Because that's who we are. But what we're lacking in America today, and what we're struggling with in America today, is that we now have the accumulative cultures of so many different nations, and they do not all believe in the one true living God. Come on, I need a big amen here. Because this is true. There's only one thing that saves mankind. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, who came to save sinners from their sins. He came to unite all people together. And listen, friends, it was not an easy task. And I'm not just talking about what Jesus went through. I'm talking about the task of people, people, people being the same kind of person as Jesus, so that they can see the importance of the one true living God in us. In us. That's what it's about. That's why it's a universal kind of faith. And if you search your Bible, you're going to find scads of scripture that back that up. The Christian faith is a spiritual faith. It's about a spirit. And I think we need to be reminded every once in a while about how important that is for us to be able to grasp why some people have a difficult time accepting Jesus Christ, or the Father of Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father, as the one and the only true God. John says it like this in the Gospel of John, chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees. His name was Nicodemus. He's a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night. And he said to him, he said, "Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with you." Jesus responds to him and he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, you cannot see the kingdom." And Nicodemus says to him, "How can a man be born of God when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?" Jesus responds by saying, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Now, I didn't put up 1 Corinthians. You need to go home and read 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And you'll find it there that only those who are in the Lord are the ones who see spiritually. If you read down to the end, through the end of the chapter, you will see that those who have not accepted the Lord have a hard time seeing what the Lord is all about. That's why Jesus said, unless a person is born anew or born again, they cannot see the kingdom of heaven. You know that I've told you this before. You all have really fuzzed out. And even with these on, I haven't got any clue of what color you got on except for Bobby. He's got on orange. Okay? I'm colored blind, and without my glasses, I can't see where to flip. This is talking about perception and understanding. And we have people all over our country don't have that perception and understanding. And the only way that's going to happen is for them to be born anew. And the way that happens is for us to get busy with living the life and telling the story of what they need to do in order to be in Christ. That's when we'll have our peace. It is a spiritual kind of faith. Now that's a very broad topic. We could talk a long time about it, but I don't want to talk about it today. The Christian faith is a serving faith. Come on in. Whoever that is. Oh, you were just using a stun gun on the kids? Okay. You got to get it under order somewhere, don't you? Listen, it's a saving kind of faith. A saving faith. Jesus came into this world to seek and to save that which is lost. Isn't that what Luke 19:10 says? Put it up there for me. Lena, if you will, or Wayne, whoever's doing that. You know that verse. You probably have it memorized. May not recognize it by the reference, but you know it. He came to seek and to save those who are lost. He came into the world to save sinners, as we read initially. Why? Because the penalty of sin is death. That's what we're taught. Even in Isaiah's words, he says, "Woe is me, for I am ruined because I am a man of unclean lips. And I live among a people of unclean lips." If I ever feel like that, that's the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, first few verses. A saving kind of faith. It's revealed. It's universal. It's spiritual. It's a saving faith. And I'm saying to you about that, if we were writing a song about our faith, Remember when it was revealed? Remember how it is revealed when you see it in other people? Remember how that works universally no matter where you go? Because when you live in kindness and love toward other people, people are going to know that. Remember when? That's the kind of faith you have. And I'm going to say to you that the Christian faith is an exclusive faith. It's an exclusive kind of faith. God used to, you see, overlook some things. But in these latter times, the book of Acts tells us, he doesn't. He now commands everyone, everywhere, to repent and to recognize that they've been in sin. That makes it exclusive. Because, you see, he's fixed a day in which he is going to come and judge the entire world. In Matthew chapter 17, we have Jesus speaking to us. And we're told that while Christ is speaking, a bright cloud overshadows them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud says, "This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased." This newer version says, listen to it. The old version, hear ye him. Hear Christ. That's our solution. That's the idea behind this great saving kind of faith. And this faith of authority. The Lord, who is patient toward you, is not wishing for anyone to perish. He wants all men everywhere to be saved. Yet, Jesus would say to those disciples and those of his day, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" Now, if you're an honest person, you're going to say, "I'd fit in that category." That's because we all have sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. That's why it's people, people, people. That's why we need each other to help us through those points in time when we are finding it hard to live the life. Am I saying that only Christians, those of the faith, are going to be saved in that on that judgment day? Read my lips. Yes. We must listen to him. It is also a complete faith. One that we must contend earnestly for. Jude 3, put that one up for us. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write unto you, appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. That's what we have. Revealed, universal, spiritual, saving faith, authoritative faith, exclusive faith, and a complete faith. It's found in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul dealt with those kind of things that we deal with today. He wrote in Galatians chapter 1, verses 8, 9, and 10, "But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel that is contrary to what we have preached to you, and he is to be accursed. And as we have said before, so say I now again, that if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you have received, he is to be accursed. For I am now seeing the favor of, for am I seeking the favor of men or God?" You know, that's the job of a preacher. He has to say the truth, because it's not about pleasing mankind. It's about pleasing God. Am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be the bond servant of Christ. Remember when you were taught the gospel. How many of you remember the day you came out of the water? Can you remember? No, you can't remember back that far, but you remember. No, I'm kidding. For some of it's a long time ago, wasn't it? I can't think of any feeling on this earth better. But you know what happens to us? We spend the rest of our lives trying to find that feeling again. Do you not believe what the New Testament so clearly teaches us? These things are written that you might believe that you have eternal life. Maybe. No, I wouldn't say maybe. These things are written that you might believe that God is faithful to save you. I hope you believe that with all of your heart, because that's what the Scriptures teach. Go to 1 John chapter 5. Read the whole chapter. That's wonderful teaching that God is laying out for us. If you're here today, you're not in Christ, you cannot go to Him. Must be in Christ. You must put Christ on. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But if you have done, I hope that you are the kind of person that's grinning from ear to ear. Come. And God bless you. Why don't you come and we'll all stand together.